生痴，流汗血尽赤心，追寻大意义。Hello and welcome to the second part of our Jackie Chan special. I am your host, Stuart Sutherland. Joining me this evening, we've got tons of fun, Jim.
Hello.
And we've got a returning caller, Mike Maley, who we haven't seen since Podcast on Fire 12.
Hello.
Welcome back. As I said, this is the second part of our Jackie Chan special we're doing here at Podcast on Fire. We are going to be covering Jackie Chan's career from 1983 up to 1989. Basically, when it came to doing this episode, I thought the easiest way to choose the movies was put out polls on some of the busier online communities when it comes to Asian cinema. So, of course, we had posted discussion topics over at Far East Films and at the Podcast on Fire forums. And it seemed pretty damn obvious that the movies we had to discuss this evening will include Police Story and Project A from 1983. Of course, we're also throwing in an extra 4 hour members only, our forum community, which you can find at podcastonfire.com/forum. These lucky people will be getting treated to a third discussion on the 1989 classic Miracles, aka Mr. Canton and Lady Rose. So, first movie for this evening, we're going to be discussing, of course, I'm just doing it in the order they came out, Project A. So, I'm actually thinking, should we really need to discuss the plots to these movies, or do you think everyone would know them?
I think you could easily sum up Project A in about two sentences. Just
they
don't spoil it too much for those who haven't seen it yet.
Okay, go for it, Jim. Two sentences.
Alright then. Jackie Chan fights pirates in colonial Hong Kong.
There you go.
That's one sentence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you could choose.
Okay, I'll add a second sentence.
Your second sentence could include the other two cast members.
Yes, with the three brothers and much wackiness.
I don't remember seeing him in it.
that's close to what it says on this website I was looking at about the British Empire the other day. I just looked at this bit, it says films, I just saw Jackie Chan, it said Jackie Chan fights pirates in colonial Hong Kong with much wackiness. And I thought it was a brilliant way to describe it.
Okay, I guess that could do.
Yeah. Unless you have something better, without spoiling the plot.
No.
Jackie Chan, Sammo and Yimbu blow up Dick Wei. Oh wait, shit. Okay, scrub that part. okay.
You, Fatty. Your face looks familiar.
Hong Kong's a pretty small joint, sir. I don't believe we've met.
That voice sounds rather familiar, too.
Oh, sure. I'm known as that guy Cuckoo. You tell me, that's familiar, too?
Don't be arrogant. You're speaking to a police officer.
Not committing a crime. See ya. Remember, we've a score to settle. You just keep your feet.
Thanks for giving me that life boy.
Don't mention it.
He's the thief. Stop him. Stop that man.
The first question I've got to ask you guys is, how did you first come into hearing about Project A? We'll ask Mike first.
Right. I'm quite a bit older than you guys, so I was at my local video store sometime in the mid-80s. And they'd got a copy just come in on the Imperial label on VHS. And because I'd been into Jackie Chan previously with Drunken Master and Snake and Eagle Shadow, I thought, right, I'll get that out. And I took it home, watched it, thoroughly enjoyed it. And got my dad to copy it onto Betamax for me. There you go.
All right. Okay. Jim?
Well,
how did you first hear about the project?
A bit of a long story, but I'll tell you anyway. It was about 2002, I believe. Maybe 2003. Just soon after I got my DVD player, I was at my granddad's house and I cut his lawn and he gave me £20 for it.
Hey.
So I decided to go downtown and buy something. Back in the days when MPC was about, you could join their little club for free and get discounts. And I saw Project A, which had Jackie Chan, and back then I bought anything with his face on it, for 20 quid. I took it home and loved it. And it was my very first, I believe it was my first positive DVD experience.
It sounds like you had a lot of negative ones before then.
Well, the last one I saw before that was Rumble in Hong Kong, so you may even guess that.
Yeah.
That was back in days when I actually believed it when it said, Jackie Chan classic, a must for every fan or collector.
Yeah, unfortunately, convinced my partner to get me that as a Valentine's gift,
yeah,
and then suddenly traded it in. She wasn't happy.
No, not
that. Neither was I.
I was also convinced by the fact that it was a prequel to Rumble in Hong Kong. Rumble in the Bronx.
Aye.
Never again.
That's a problem though, isn't it? They're using his name to sell a lot of second rate 70s films that he did, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it was a bit annoying though, but the positive experience did cheer me up a lot.
Good.
Because I'm guessing that was the Hong Kong Legend you had picked up.
It was the 2-disc Hong Kong Legends Platinum Edition.
And at that time, that was really the Hong Kong Legends when they were in their prime. Like, you got a lot. Like, for 20 quid, you still kind of got your money's worth out of it with all the special features you were given, all the interviews and
audio
commentaries.
I was in love. I remember I was just getting over being shot down by a girl at the time, which really got me down. And finding that actually did make me smile a lot. And I thought, who needs girls? I have Jackie Chan.
Well, that's a way to think about it.
Yeah.
For me, I actually first heard about Project A when I was actually in my work placement through high school, and I'd obtained a copy of Jackie Chan's biography, My Life in Action. And as you could expect, the movie heavily mentions the movies that we will go on to discuss tonight. And, of course, at the back of the book, it had Jackie Chan's filmography, and he wrote like a short paragraph about each movie, sort of summing up his thoughts on it. And like, obviously, that golden M stuck in my head. I wanted to see things like Dragons Forever, Project A, Police Story. Like, I took mental notes, and whenever you'd see these films, like, I remember finding a copy of Millionaire's Express on VHS donkeys years ago when I was in Perth, and it kind of like the light bulb went off, because it's like, this is Yuen Biu and Samuel, these are the guys that was in Jackie's book, and for some reason I didn't buy it. I was an idiot, true. But another thing that really caught me into Project A was downloading these really bad quality videos from the old JackieChan.com fan site, and those included, like, the files included, they included scenes like from the barroom brawl between like the sailors and the constables, and then of course they did include the fight scene from the end when it was the three brothers fighting Dick Wei. So yeah, that was really how I first heard about it. But
what's all the talking about? Well,
he said, look at that chick.
He said she had a real crazy figure.
He said she was 30.
500 times, go repeat it.
Huh?
1,000 then.
Yes, sir. Hey, look at that chick over there.
She's got a real crazy figure.
She looks like she's at 30.
That ain't difficult to figure out.
Who was making that noise?
I did, sir.
Here! Laughing on parade.
Sure, I admit it, sir.
Lot of noise for one person to make.
I have a large mouth.
And do you know the punishment for behaving like this?
I guess I gotta go back there and laugh 1,000 times.
Take him, God! Shoot him dead!
When it comes to personal highlights in the movie, I could really just watch the movies on a heavy rotation. It's the scene in the bar room where, like, the one moment where they're on one, like, sailors on one side and the police officers on the other, and then the old gramophone kicks in with the music, and then it's kicks flips, falls, both Jackie Chan and Yin Bu like beating fuck each other, and then they kind of stand there like doing these sort of hard man poses only to hide behind the pillars and start like just really cringing from the fucking chair shot they just took. It's like those scenes are really like priceless. Again, like from watching it again just recently, I do find maybe some of the comedy like from like Tai Bo with all the spaghetti could be a little grating now. I was, because when watching it, I was like, right, okay, just cut back to the fighting. I want to see them doing flips over chairs. I don't care that you've got this spaghetti. But yeah, I think it is just a lot of the scenes in these movies are so damn memorable, like the fight in the pirate's den, or I could mention like scene after scene after scene, but the thing is these scenes are all connected, like Jackie Chan getting chased by the gangsters, and then he meets up with Sammo, then they fight, then he gets arrested, then he goes into the clock tower, then he falls out the clock tower. It's like awesome bit after awesome bit. There's all these many, many great scenes. But Mike, what was some of your personal highlights from the film?
Well, it's the, I mean, you know, after Drunk Master Snake Needle Shadow, I'd never heard of Yuen Biao or Sammo Hung before, and it was a good introduction, to be honest, to right. Those two guys. It's got to be the bike chase, really, because as a standout scene, because it was just so funny and so clever. And I still love the bit when he's riding up the alley and he knocks on that guy's door. He outs the top of the door and it knocks the other guy off his bike. I think that's a classic moment. And also the scene when his saddle comes off and he jumps back on his bike and has the seat tube going up his jack. So I think that's really good, really funny. And as you said, that all leads up to the clock tower stunt, which I think was just amazing. When I first watched that, I just, you know, I had to keep rewinding it. I mean, it showed him do the stunt twice anyway, but I had to like rewind it. I thought, I can't believe that's him doing that. That's unbelievable. So I think they were great.
The thing I actually remember a lot about this movie, like on the forums, was people kind of dissecting it, and it was really, they looked too hard into it. There's like freeze frame shots saying, I do think that was Jackie that was doing that fall, and it's like, why do you need to analyse these things? This is, you're really not seeing the full picture here. If you just watch this cunt fall from the clock tower and go through, like, just hit the floor, and it's like, like, I don't care if it was Jack that done it or not, it's just this, like, they picked him up, and, even scenes like where, I do think Jackie done that role, or I do think that was him on the bike, and like, really, are we really dissecting this movie?
I think what's so good about it as well is that he did the stunt and then it didn't cut to something else. He does the stunt and you see him like get up holding his back in pain, and then he does a bit of dialogue and then they walk out, you know. It's very reminiscent of the stunt by Yuen Biao in Millionaire's Express when he flips off the roof, lands, does a bit of dialogue and then it cuts, just so you can see that it is actually those guys attacking the knocks.
Aye. It's very similar to that scene. Both classics.
Yeah.
So, Jim, personal highlights of the movie?
Well, as I already explained, it was pretty much my first real DVD experience with Jackie, so I had one or two positive ones before that, but overall, I just remember loving the film. I remember seeing how everything was literally just fast, you know, it was like, but you can't see, but I'm clicking my fingers to show fast movements, but I just know that everything about it being so fast and kinetic, although really that still means moving, but overall, probably, as I think most of my highlights were the bike chase and the clock tower, for which just left it gasping, I think. And I'm thinking, oh my god, he actually did that.
Yeah.
Well, brilliant. I remember thinking that, and I thought, brilliant. It was brilliant that you had this bloke who was literally willing to try and kill himself just for the sake of entertainment.
Yes.
I remember afterwards people saying, oh, he didn't do it, but although technically in the actual film footage it is miles in the fall, but in the outtake you see him do it and he fucks it up terribly. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that Jackie is terrible at stunts, as you can usually see in the ads, because he usually hurts himself and ends up needing someone else to actually do it for the actual film.
Right.
It's funny that, because the way his doubling works, some of these films, he'll have a double for like a really easy stunt, and then like he'll do something quite difficult, but... You know, the amount of times he's broken his bones, it's ridiculous.
Yes, exactly.
It is rather, but it's just all in the name of entertainment. It's just how much he loves it. He loves the admiration, probably.
Mm-hmm. I think, actually, one of the... When coming to this movie, I was really... I find it difficult to choose... who's really my favourite character in the film. Because there's times where Yin Bu, as like that, there's like the police chief Ma, he was just fucking great. I always loved the confrontation between him and Jackie in the barroom scene, where gives him two choices, apologise and... Oh fuck, I'm blanking on it. Nah, someone's going to have to help me out here. What was the options he gave Jackie?
I can't remember.
Because the poor guy will get beaten up, I think. Not those words, but that was the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. This is terrible. How could I...
doesn't he say he spilt his drink, let me buy you, when he tips it over his head?
Well,
it does lead him to do that, but...
I believe this was the moment where he just spilt like a few droplets on his... cardigan type jumper.
He spills it on his jacket.
Golf jump, that was it.
Yeah.
Hardly golf fashion arts on that, his project, eh?
Mm-hmm. It really was, I think, the case where Yin Bu says you could apologise or then Jackie stops him. That's why you could probably can't think of the second option, but...
You dirty my best suit.
I do apologise.
Oh, don't bother, big head. You can make two choices, pal. You're gonna say you're sorry, or else. But I can't do that. I don't know how.
It was just that, and like the music with the piano in the background, just that really, it's like, oh fuck, these guys are gonna scrap. And then it just turns into a battle royal between the Coast Guards. It's like scenes like that, like Yin Bu's introduction was really good. Then we have Samuel's introduction in like the Mahjong house, and he's playing all the games, and I do find it quite amusing that they were playing for cigarettes. And you know, it was the constant gag about knocking over the Mahjong tiles, but even when the table broke, Samuel was still holding his in a line, and I think it was just like one of these films that it couldn't get any better than this.
Like, it does so, doesn't it? Because it ends up... I just remembered the scene in the nightclub when they have to go and arrest that guy and his warrant. And I always remember another bit that sticks in my mind is when he tells him he quits and then he runs up the stairs and...
Aye.
He knocks one of the guys off the balcony and he goes to grab the chandelier and he doesn't quite grab it.
Aye, so it just bangs off of it.
Yeah, and he just hits the deck, and it was like, oh! I mean, that's the thing I miss about films now. When you'd watch films like that, like Hong Kong and Itada, you'd be watching it and be going, oh, God, that must have hurt. You know, and you'd always be guaranteed to be watching it, and you'd be doing that all the time, going, oh, God, that must have... God, I can't believe you survived that.
It does make it look... like so damn easy, just the fact of being thrown banging off a desk then hitting the floor, or like the fact that Jackie just stood on the desk, jumped on the chandelier, swung up the staircase. It's so damn smooth. And then it actually leads on to like one of the other great scenes when Jackie goes in and like gets the culprit that they're after and he gives him a kick, and then it's like that slow motion shot of the man being kicked and the amount of fucking,
power powder, yeah,
that comes off of them. It's like he kicked like the dandruff out of that boy. It was a little bit much, but still, it was fucking awesome to see.
It's a good scene, because when he sets it up, he, like, smacks him, and then he does a flip off the wall, doesn't he? And then kicks him. Yeah, it's very, very good.
It's not like going in there and smack him in the face and dragging him out. It's like they do have a bit of a scrappy, like, force, like, grabs him with. It was like, wasn't it like a. I was going to say a fucking lamppost. What am I on? It's like, what, they're hanging their jackets on or something.
Couch stand. Yeah.
Aye, that's it. He was swung from with that, and then he lifted him up to the ceiling with it. Damn it. It is going to be constantly just saying these movies are so damn good, and we're not wrong in saying that. It is just one of those, like, the movie is filled with so many brilliant parts. Like, when they're interrogating the dude.
It's good because the version that I saw on video was slightly shorter than the version that I managed to get on DVD.
Right, aye, because I remember from some cuts, wasn't the Mahjong scene cut out because they're thinking an international audience wouldn't understand the concept of the game?
Yeah, I believe it was. The version I saw, funnily enough, the dubbing on the video is the dubbing that they used on the HKL version, which I was quite glad about.
Alright, yeah. Aye.
So when they're playing Mahjong, they're basically playing poker rules. And when he punches that guy in the face, you just ruined my full house. Smack.
I think Samuel's comedy in the film is actually really good as well. When he comes across the police chief, played by Kwan Oi-san, and it was just before Jackie gets handcuffed to the big pole, the flagpole, and Samuel's covering his face, obviously, from before, and he's like, you sound familiar. And then he quickly changes what he's like, oh, if you think, oh, I sound familiar, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts changing his voice, and he's like, don't disrespect an officer. It's just, he's basically a bit of a scamp. That's the way to describe it, I think.
Yeah, and then he says, thanks for that life preserver.
Goes, exactly.
Don't mention it. Yeah.
Aye. He gives it away.
He does.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think this movie, like, from the films we're talking about tonight, this one, I have to say, has probably the most significant, like, badass in it. Like, the way Dick Way was dressed up in this movie. Like, him as the fucking pirate leader, he looked fucking evil. Like, I've never seen Dick Way, like, look anything like that from any of his other movies. All his other movies, he just kind of looks like Dick Way, but for this movie, he looks completely transformed. Like, with, like, the long hair, the big tattoos across his chest and his arms, which look like they were done with a biro pen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he was, a badass in this film.
Yeah, even though there's a similar with his back, because he's got quite a hunch, hasn't he, to one side. Mm-hmm. And I think that adds to, like, his menace, really. And it's very good. Yeah, it's... he looked to me like... He looked... He just looked like... I don't know if it's because he'd got his top off. His arms look bigger than you tend to notice in other films than he's been in. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's because they hold him up or not.
Aye. But I think one of the great things was the... we're just rambling on about these great scenes, but the film's chalked through them. What was it?
The bit for me, especially with the dubbing, is the bit when he's got... Ewan Pugh's got them all on the parade ground. And it's just before the scene when they swap the grenade for the live grenade, yeah?
Right, aye,
and,
aye.
And those two going, hey, look at that chick. She's got a crazy figure. She looks like a 30.
Aye.
And then he calls that line, they have to march around repeating the whole thing. And then Mars comes in with laughing, and then this guy says, oh, you're laughing? Oh, well, I've got a big mouth. You know what the charge will be for this? Yes, I've got to walk around and laugh. No, take him out and shoot him dead. And he goes, oh, just a look on his face, and he tells him, cracks me up.
And it then leads to the scene where Tybo's still sleeping, and he's saying, like, the lines in his sleep. He's like, she's got a crazy figure. Yeah, that was pretty good. But I think that was one of the things where it is actually a bit of a long movie. I think it is maybe about 10 minutes shy of 2 hours.
Mm.
And it was after all the stuff where Jackie falls from the clock tower and being dragged away, and he's like, you kind of think, this is kind of finished. And then the pirate ship comes in, and then you get just introduced to Dick Way then. It's like, Christ, this film is just beginning, really. It's already been on for a good hour. So it's not like I'm complaining about the length, but still, it's surprisingly, there is quite a lot of story to this movie. It isn't just the like this rivalry between the police officer and the
Coast
Guards. Aye, exactly.
I think it's quite interesting. I think it really is. It's what they've done. It's like they've done with a lot of the army regiments now. They end up combining the two into one regiment,
aye,
or into one unit, instead of being two separate entities. But you know, not that I ever read too much into kung fu films or whatever.
So obviously, it was almost inevitable that a sequel would soon follow.
Yes,
Project A, which I think it was 87, so it was a good 4 years after. And basically, what was your opinion when Jackie Chan just appears on his own for Project A Part 2? Jim?
It was alright. It was no Project A as such, but I think it would have been better if it was a separate movie, totally.
Right, if it was a completely new concept, so...
Yeah, but if you remember Project A Part A, or 1, or whatever, or just plain old Project A, he was meant to be a sailor. And that was funny, because you saw him going out to sea, he was in boats, he fought pirates. Mm-hmm. This one, he's on dry land for the whole thing. Like he's a totally different character.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a nice little espionage twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
Although, to be honest with you, I found Maggie Cheung and Rosamund Kwan to be a tad annoying in that.
Yeah, I've got something to talk about that later on as well, but this was really the film where, rather than having the male counterparts, Jackie Chan was overloaded with female co-stars instead. Because,
mm-hmm.
Let's see, he was teamed up with Rosamund Kwan, Maggie Cheung, I think Karina Lau as well. But yeah, right in saying this is basically, it was set in land, but it did include, wasn't it? It was the pirates from the ship.
Yeah, that helped
back.
Him out later on.
That's right, yeah, to try and finish him off. There is a good fight scene as well. When him and that other copper are handcuffed together and they have to fight them off. That's just, I think if the action hadn't been so good in it, it would have been quite a forgettable film. Maybe they should have called it The Landlubber or something, I don't know.
But I had to look this up because one thing I am going to do tonight is really not try and regurgitate a lot of things people have heard on like Bay Logan DVD commentaries before. It's like, because people have heard this stuff before and I don't want to say, oh, these guys are getting it, some genuine information. It's like, yeah, we've stolen it for someone else, but...
Yeah, because you only get these bitchy emails. And nobody wants
but...
from Bay Logan's lawyers.
Yeah, but as Bay always says on his commentaries, if you're going to steal from the best.
So, yeah, if you do want to send us bitchy emails, you could contact us at podcastonfire@googlemail.com. Because any mail's good enough for me. So, I think that was one of the things, like, obviously... Project A is missing two very important people. And when actually looking it up, I realised in 1897, the only other project both Yimbu and Sam
Eastern Humber, Condors.
That was what they're involved in. Eastern Condors came out a month after Project A did in the cinemas. So it must be quite likely that they were, like, that's what Jackie was working on, and that's what Sam and Yimbu were working on. And of course, I don't think that was filmed in Hong Kong either.
And I've got to say, out of the two, I prefer Eastern Condors.
Eastern Condors is a more memorable film. But I think one of the actual highlights of Project A2 for me was the scene when, I think it was they had the big ballroom dancing night, and Jackie was sort of snooping about, and it was when they go in the room and Jackie pretends to be part of the painting. He just freezes beside it.
It's a good scene, really,
then. It is. If you weren't paying attention, just look back. It's too convincing.
Very good.
It was. It cracks me up. So, I think we've done enough talk about Project A. We could go on. We could really talk about everything else, like all the great co-stars to the film, where it was just Jackie Chan stuntmen all thrown in. Tybo, Mars. We had like Benny Lai. There's plenty of familiar faces to that movie.
Jackie, how could you keep me hanging on like that?
Oh, you want Sergeant Chan. Hold on. Sergeant Chan phoned for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Sergeant Chan.
It's May.
Oh, hi, May.
Who was it who answered the phone just now?
Oh, him. Just some rude constable. I'll get on his case. Hey, constable, you should be more polite. Didn't your mother teach you any manners?
Sorry, Sergeant, I'm an ignorant pig.
There, I put him in his place. So, what's up?
Police Story. Easily one of the most memorable films when it comes to thinking of Jackie Chan's work in the 80s. Jim, do you have like a one-line synopsis for us?
Jackie Chan fights bad guys. As a cop.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Let's see if IMDb has a synopsis as good as yours.
This is probably about 20 lines long. I guarantee they reveal a lot more of the plot than I do.
Yeah, probably do. Yeah. And some of the people that post on IMDb are quite frightening as well.
Yeah, but I think they're meant to be.
That's alright. Mm-hmm. I think what happens is they ban them, so they decide to come out on YouTube then.
Anyway, let's... Basically, Jackie Chan arrests Crime Lord. Basically, life turns to shit after that. Catches a bus, has a fight in the mall, punches some old bloke.
Bit like a night out here, actually. Getting a bus, fighting in the mall, and punching some old bloke, yeah.
I was just about to say, but at least there'll not be any violence towards women. So, oh, wait.
Not in quite the Samo vein there.
No. Pushing them through glass cabinets, so.
Yeah.
Police Story is like the classic Jackie Chan film. If we really did have to do like a, well, this was the winner of our poll for his most popular film in the 80s. So my question to you guys is, when did you first see Police Story? And we'll go for Jim this time.
Well, I think this was back in 2001 before I even had a DVD player. I picked the video up at a boot sale for £1. It's memorable because it was my first ever experience with subtitles. And the bloke at the boot sale, who obviously didn't want to sell it, he said to me, "It's subtitle, mate, sure you want?" And I go, "Yeah, I don't mind." He goes, "You sure? Sure, it's not in here." I said, "No, I don't mind." He goes, "You sure about it?" I said, "Yes, I'll give you a pound." He goes, "Yeah." I remember taking it home, watching it upstairs in my room, and being... I can't remember what I thought at that time, but I just had this urge to watch it again and again, so I obviously loved it. I obviously loved it, is what I meant to say. Can't even speak properly.
Well,
and
my...
Despite what the bloke or my parents thought, the subtitles didn't actually ruin it for me one bit. Just prepared me for future times.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much my story behind Police Story.
Well, for me, I kind of actually built this movie up to go on like a pedestal, really. As I mentioned earlier, I did find out about the movie from reading Jackie Chan's biography, and then seeing the really bad quality video clips from the old Jackie Chan website. And, of course, I think Channel 5 had shown the documentary... Jackie Chan, was it Jackie Chan My Stunts, where that showed like the bus scenes where, and then it showed you how the choreographed scenes and that, and I thought like, oh man, I was like, I thought the movie was basically rare because I couldn't find it anywhere, and this was a stage where you wouldn't use the internet to look for things. You would go onto the Hong Kong Legends website, and it was sort of like, just one static image saying a new website coming soon and their logo. I said, right, so I didn't know what their catalogue was. The only way you got to find out what catalogue, what movies they also had was the trailers they'd put on the DVD. You usually get was like half a dozen trailers that would advertise things like The Black Sheep Affair and Hitman and probably My Lucky Stars. It never mentioned Police Story. And then I obtained a copy of the English dubbed VHS of Police Story. I got that out of an old HMV in Kirkcaldy for I think £8. And I never knew. I'm pretty sure the DVD was around then, because it is one of those one of their first DVDs when you look at them, and it's got the hideous cover that probably has nothing to do with the movie.
And it's also got that little bit at the side.
Yeah.
Where it's got a picture of Jackie Jet and I think that Beardy on the top without a beard.
Lung Kar Yan, yeah, it is on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, Lung Kar Yan. He from Dragon Tiger Gates, and it's got Hong Kong Legends at the bottom.
Yeah. You mean New Dragon Gate Inn?
Yes, New Dragon Gate Inn.
Oh, sorry, it's an old tape. It's a little bit further on. Don't worry, it's coming up.
Ow! It feels like I've been pricked.
Hey, watch what you're doing. That's my pride and joy. Be careful, you're breaking it.
What is that? Ugly thing, get rid of it.
No way, it's my favorite.
Now you've made me wet all over.
I'll wipe it off for you.
No, just talking about my cactus. What is this?
Look, I'm only one up here. Oh, yeah. No.
I spilled orange juice all over her, that's all. Oh, you must believe me. It isn't what you think, honestly.
Oh. I don't know. I'm so uncomfortable. So can we get a bed now?
Huh? Go to bed, yeah, of course.
Tell me, what do I
see? In my bed, I guess.
What about you?
I'll say this to you.
Oh. What a lady killer.
When did you first see Police Story?
Right, I could do this right. When I was a kid in the 80s, it was in black and white in those days, I was going to the video shop on the way to picking up the Hovis loaf for my mum, and...
You're that guy in the advert, aren't you?
I am. I stopped at the video shop, my local video store called, in Bloxwich, called Video Rom, which isn't there anymore, which is a shame, a great shop. He'd got it in, and it was VHS, Imperial video label again, and I always remember a quote, I think it was from one of the papers, The Sun, and it was, the quote on the top was, Hong Kong Hills Cop, because it was not long after Beverly Hills Cop had come out, obviously, and anything with Jackie Chan in, took it home. My sister is 8 years younger than me, I got her into those, well, basically she was brainwashed, because I'd got them on all the time, and we just sat down and watched it, and it was, like, fantastic. And it, as Jim said, once we'd watched it, I had to watch it again. It was that good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just couldn't believe what the guy could possibly do. Mm-hmm. You know, it was as you know. Opening with the scene in the shantytown for starters.
Exactly.
And you've got the cars all coming down, and like directly above them, the stuntmen are like falling off the roof and things like that. It was just amazing. And given the fact it had got the excellent dubbing as well by the same six blokes that did every other Kung Fu film ever made, yeah, it was just an absolute classic film. And I rewatched it recently for this podcast, and I'd not watched it for a while. I'd just forgotten how bloody good it was. The only thing I'll go into in the next bit, but I'll cover that there. I don't want to jump the gun.
All right, well, I'll pass on to you right now, because our next question is, comparing it to now, has your opinion differed since seeing it originally? So, continue, Mike.
The only thing I don't like about the DVD version that I watched recently is they redid the dubbing.
They
did. It's like what they did with Drunken Master. Classic film, classic dubbing. They released Stone Eagle Shadow with the original dub that was on the VHS. Great. They changed it on that one, and they've done it on this. They've changed the dubbing. And it's a shame, because it like loses that nostalgic feeling I get watching it. Yeah. And basically, I mean, it's comparing it to now, you just rewind your favourite bits, because it's on DVD. And if you've been a bit anal, you can zoom in to see if he's been doubled by one of his stuntmen. There you go. I think I'd forgotten how good it was, and I think it's a great film. And when you think the influence it's had 20 years later with, like, Bad Boys 2, mm-hmm. and, when you think, even a few years later, Tango and Cash, they right. recreated the bus scene. Not as well, in my opinion, but it's just had such a big influence. And, you know, I want to shut up about it now. It's just a good job Laugard Lung wasn't in it, otherwise I'd be witching on about it all night.
Jim, so does the movie still hold up to today?
Oh yeah, still good. It's one of those things I can't always be bothered. I think I could watch it, but I've seen it so many times. But when you announced doing this podcast, I thought I better watch it just in case I forget everything about it, mm-hmm. or in case you decide to test me and tell me something in the film and dinner show, and I go, oh yes, I remember that scene. You go, ah, I knew it. Mm-hmm.
37 minutes in, who adjusts their glasses?
Yeah, but I remember watching it. I thought, I'll watch a little bit tonight, and I watched the rest tomorrow, because I got work early, as I always do, but I just kept on watching. I thought, nah, another 10 minutes, then I go to sleep, and I thought, an hour went by, I thought, just 10 more minutes, then I'll stop, and eventually, I knew where I was, it was way too late, and I'd seen the whole thing, mm-hmm. and I thought, this is brilliant, I should watch these more.
See, I actually think Police Story is actually still really a great access, like, well, I was going to say an access drug to bigger things, but it's in the sense that Channel 5 over here, I think, since seeing it originally, I think they've like put it out on television maybe 3 times.
Yeah,
in maybe the past 5 years.
Yeah, I've seen it on Channel 5 a few times. They usually a Sunday night.
Yeah, I do remember one week where it was Police Story on one Wednesday night, and then the week after it was Police Story 2. And, of course, I think everyone was paying attention to see if Police Story 3 followed, but it didn't. But it still seems a bit like one of these really like easy films. Like, right, it's just a fucking all-out blockbuster. It's got these great action scenes. We've got the bus stunt. We've then got like the scene when Jackie's walking away with Bridget Lynn in the car park, and like they get attacked by the gang and they're fighting in the woods, and then of course like the final 10 minutes, the really great stunts, the fights, everything is brilliant in like the last 10 minutes of that film. And for me, like obviously comparing it to nowadays, the only thing I find that kind of grates to me is the comedy involving Maggie Cheung. She could be a little bit of a whiny bitch.
She does pay the price a bit though, doesn't she?
yeah, in the sequel she gets her dues, but still. But, like, there is some of the other comedy scenes that actually still work quite well. Like when Jackie Chan and Marge staged the break-in.
That's a good scene, that is.
And the same with Jackie Chan covering all the phones at the police station.
Great, but I'd forgot how funny that scene was.
Yeah, he's got a bit where he sets the cow down and tries to moon it off.
I can't...
I'm thinking back to the VHS, and I'm pretty sure the scene with the telephones wasn't in it. I remember... It clearly shows it in the outtakes at the end of the movie, like what you get with all Jackie Chan films, the really mm-hmm. great outtakes with the theme music, which is also sung by Jackie. It just the scene was missing.
And I think a bit when he steps in the dung as well. I don't remember that on the VHS, it brought me my memory. And the other bit that cracks me up, and I was really looking... I think what disappointed me was, if it had had the original dubbing, it would have been brilliant. It was the scene in the court when he plays the tape. Right. Oh, you've got me all wet. Oh, you've poked me. Don't do that. You're going to break it. I just thought that scene was... It still makes me laugh now, actually.
Aye, aye.
It's just... I've got a dirty mind, obviously, but I still think that's... it was, you know, especially when even the judge is laughing. It's it's a good scene.
Aye. But, yeah, just as you were saying, like, scenes where Jackie Chan's swinging off a bus, or to the point where he's driving through a shantytown, like, the movie is still thrilling. It's still really impressive to watch. It is one of these things where you just see him swinging off the side of the bus and you could really just feel the hairs on the back of your neck go up because, like, this cunt's literally hanging off a bus. I'm pretty sure in maybe the mid-80s, this wasn't existent. Or this wasn't mainstream enough for people to know about, but...
you're right there, because, I mean... I've been into him for, you know, quite early in the, like, mid-80s, 83, first film I saw. And me and my sister into it. And I was saying to my mate, oh, it's new Jackie Chan film. Be like, oh, yeah, I don't know how you can watch them. And then there was a little Jonathan Ross, the Really Strange Film Show. And he did an actual feature on Jackie Chan and interviewed him. They were filming in Kowloon when they on the set of The Miracle, actually. So it's got to be like 89. And it showed you all the classic scenes, police story with the bus and the bit at the end in the shop and that. And like when I was at work, I found out people were saying, you know, that bloke that you're always going on about, he was on Channel 4 last night. Yeah, well, you know. Some of us have got taste, mate, you haven't. There you go.
But yeah, the movie definitely got recognition because at the 1986 Hong Kong Film Awards, it was nominated for 7 different awards. It did walk away with 2 of them, but, I mean, the guy was put down for Best Director, Actor, Cinematographer, Editing, Action, Best Picture. Like, the movie was obviously a huge hit over in Hong Kong as well. And, well, I think as many people know already, this was basically the film Jackie wanted to make after his disappointing experiences with the movie...
The Protector.
There you go. Point each. But, yeah, that... just thinking about Protector's just another can of worms right there.
Oh, God. I'm going to say, I enjoyed it when I saw it at the cinema.
Yeah.
Got Jackie Chan in it, so there you go. What more could you ask for?
I think it was... Wasn't it really just Jackie Chan playing Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, basically.
No, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger being played by a small Chinese guy.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, obviously, as we know, the police story basically went on to become a quite notable series in Jackie Chan's career. So, as we know, there is all the other movies, so is there a personal favourite amongst the series other than the first one? Mike?
I do like 2, I have to say, mainly because of the excellent fight scene in the park when
yes.
He's jumping around. That is just pure genius. And the other scene that was very good, and I thought the fights at the end were just excellent when he's fight with Benny Lai.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, John Chung, and I think it's just you know, and the firework factory, you know. What more could you ask for?
Exactly.
You know, and the annoying Maggie Chung does get bashed on the head as well, so in a stunt gone wrong, so, you know, what more could you ask for? But it's another one of those that I happened to... that ended up on Betamax somehow, don't ask me how. And I just watched it over and over again. And it's... Police Story 3, I did enjoy, but I don't know. I just...
It does seem like a bit of the odd one. In the same... to me, it only really feels like there's been 2 Police Story movies. It seems like they kind of kept the title and went on with different stories because...
I think Jim said earlier maybe they should have called it something totally different instead of Police Story. Obviously, they want to cash in on the success of the other two. But, you know, maybe they should have called it something else.
And even to the point where a few years ago we got new Police Story...
Oh, that really annoyed the hell out of me.
Because that well, there was no relation to that film and the past ones. It's not really the fact that it's Kevin. It's Ken. Oh, what's it? Kelcoy. Like he's not.
Karkoy. His name is Karkoy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not an older version of him. It's a completely new guy. Man, what was his name again?
I couldn't care. That should have called it Water World. They made a bloody crying idiot, didn't it?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, some of the stunts in it, you made me think, oh, God, that must have hurt, but I was disappointed.
Yeah, it wasn't really a police story. Well, I think if they'd just done that so it could make it easier to sell internationally.
Technically, it was a story about the police, so, you know.
That is a new police story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, but it's...
I do remember from the new police story. I did really like Nicolas Cage's coat.
You really liked his coat?
Yeah, the style of the way he looked so baggy, but it actually made him look quite cool, I thought. Someone said I asked my parents to try and find me something similar.
If we're going to get into the discussion about Nicolas Cage and coats, look no further than Gen X Cops.
Yes, another one, but...
I've seen it, I've got
to
say.
I should really confess now to the prof listeners that I tend to take fashion tips from Nicolas Cage.
Well, at least you're not taking them from, like, Aaron Kwok.
That's no. I take mine from Sammo Hung. I'm doing this podcast in a yellow jumpsuit.
I hope you've got the hair to match.
Bowl cut as well.
Yeah, definitely. I had it done earlier, yeah. The only trouble is I've got all cake mix just stuck to my head now, but never mind. Well, the wife told me it was cake mixture.
Oh, right.
Pity Ken's not on here, really, isn't he?
I know, he's... like, that's his cue right there. he can just pick up the ball and run with it right there.
I would laugh now if he just, like, said, "Hello, Ken here," and like, "Oh, my God."
My answer was basically the same as yours, Mike. Police Story 2, that was a more intense movie. Because this one really did just pick up where the last one left off. But now, Jackie Chan's... Just like the scenes in the fighting in the restaurant at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, Dad, forgot about it. Because he crosses the road, doesn't he?
He gets hit by a van.
Yeah, and I mean, those of us that grew watching American films, you never saw anything like that, ever. Like, you could see it was actually him, and like, you think, oh my God, you know, that's just, I think that's what makes him so good. You're seeing stuff that you'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm. He just, like, his fucking expression changed, he went cold, just fucking went across the street, got hit by a van. That wasn't the point of the scene, that just happened. He just, shook it off and kept on walking, and then he went and mauled all the cunts in the fucking cafe. And
when he knocks that guy out the window and he bangs his head on the pavement, God.
Nah, you see him sympathising with him in the outtakes, but still, that dude took a fucking knock.
Too right.
And then again with the fights with Benny Lai at the end, and the wee fireworks, like the wee explosives are thrown onto him. It was just a step up, really. But the thing is, Police Story is where it all began.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you know.
You can't get past scenes like the end of the shopping mall where he goes down, to the Christmas lights. Like, you can't, like, stuff like that. You can't beat that. Like, the dude got cuts, burns, and I think they even said he dislocated his pelvis on impact.
Doesn't surprise me, actually. It's, excuse me. As I said before, it's, you weren't used to the lead actor doing his own stunts, or a lot of them.
Aye.
I'm not saying all of them. But there's a scene when he comes off one of the balconies and goes through the roof of, like, a store. Oh, yeah.
Aye.
It's a great thing. Oh, man. And then he gets up and, like, walks on, thinking, my God. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
It's the fact that, like, he was, like, the director of the film. It's crazy that he was kind of being this one-man band. Like, sure, he was like lucky enough to have his stuntmen association with him, because you do see people like Ben Lamb.
Yeah, Ben Lamb.
Bad Falls and
yeah.
Mars doing this, that, and the next thing. Like, it's really the team that kind of bring it all out. It's Jackie that does the punches, but it's the guy that hits, that takes the landing, that really like brings out the oohs and the ahs.
Yeah, that make him look good, don't they, really? That's what it's all. You know, as Mr. Logan's always saying, it's the reaction of the stuntmen that make the
impact.
Yeah, the impact. Yeah, and I also thought it was the end fight. I mean, Rosamund Kwan going through all the glass. I mean, you know, she obviously got a few bruises and cuts. So, you know, hats off to her. Very good.
You're Bridget Lynn.
Bridget Lynn, sorry. I'm not very up on the names, but Fung Hakon was a good bad guy.
Oh, he was brilliant.
And it's funny because he's one of those guys, he's like Lee Hui San, they like play the most evilest bastards you can ever want in a film, and yet when they're interviewed and stuff, I mean, a mate of mine's met him in Hong Kong, he said he's a really nice bloke, so obviously bloody good actors, so
yeah. Fung Hakon is just brilliant himself, like the guy in the white suit, and he is still the fucking the sleaziest bastard. And like his character takes the knocks, his character gets like kicked down the escalator steps.
Like
I think the impact is always so much more shocking when the guy does get kicked, does a flip, and then bounces on impact. So that dude's bounced off of like metal steps.
Yeah.
Oh, I really hope those cunts had padding on. Or at least got paid well. But I think they had neither.
Yeah. That's true.
But, yep, really, we can't go on to finish the show without mentioning the other really great Jackie Chan films from the 80s. I do have a list of them quite here. So what I'm going to basically do is basically just read out the list. I'll give you a film each, unless you really need to share your opinion on one of the films. But just give me your opinions on all the films we've not covered. So, Fearless Hyena 2 from 1983.
Could have been
worse. Not seeing it.
So, what was your opinion on that, Jim?
It was alright.
Wasn't that?
You have to remember is that unlike Fearless Hyena 1, which was a pure Jackie production. Number two was a low-wide production, attempting to cash in on it, so you just shot a little bit, but mainly used stock footage from, what's called it, Spiritual Kung Fu, and Half a Loaf, and Fearless Hyena 1.
Right, okay. Yeah, I've never got the chance to see that one either.
Yeah, it's
probably not worth it, yeah.
No.
Mike, what's your thoughts on Winners and Sinners?
Not bad. I've probably only seen it once, but yeah, it was okay. It's good stunts, like the roller skating under the truck and all that.
Yeah, that is insane.
It is insane.
And then it has the fucking craziest car pile up after it.
Yeah, not as good as the Blues Brothers, though, I've got to say. It's pile up scare.
But it was almost as if they must be driving up off of ramps into the pile. It was, man.
Probably Blackie Cow had something to do with that.
Yeah. He'd get out one car, then quickly run off screen and climb into the next one, and then drive into the last one.
Yeah.
I think it goes to prove maybe that they had some extra money left over in the budget and said, right, let's buy a fuckload of cars. I've got an idea, lads, let's go for it.
For me, Winners and Sinners, the best scene was where Richard Lynn tries to be naked or invisible.
Oh, yeah.
Just remember
I remember.
Watching like a soccer game.
He had the postman. I remember his line saying, unfortunately, I can see it. I really don't want to, but unfortunately, I have no choice.
Another great one, Wheels and Meals, 1984.
Classic.
That was really one of the last films I'd seen when it comes to the Three Brothers.
Funnily enough, I saw that before I saw Miracles. Before Armour of God, it was mid-80s. And you know, Samo's haircut is just in that. That Kevin Keegan perm is fucking fantastic. And it should have won awards at the Hong Kong Film Awards just for that haircut. Fucking, you know, brilliant. And the dubbing. The dubbing, when he's in the lunatic asylum, I am a clock measuring time. And when he's telling himself a joke, super. Honestly. And, I mean, the fights as well, the just classic fights. I mean, the one with Benny the Jet.
Yes.
Oh, great.
I always found it so bizarre that that film was, like, set in Spain.
Yeah. <It's>, yeah. Oh, I've never been to Spain. Let's do a film. It's okay. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And Lola Fauna is quite hot in it as well, so.
Yeah, I have to say that too. Apparently, when they went there, they just went to the talent agents and said, give us the most beautiful woman you have. And they gave them her. And it must have worked out well, because she returned for Armour of God.
Armour of God, that's right, yeah. It was good, though, because, and funnily enough, there's an American actor in it as Samo's partner, a guy called Herb Edelman. He's the actor's name is, when I was a kid, he used to be in a sitcom called Big John, Little John. About this guy that was exploring. Now, seeing this, he's exploring. Sounds like I'm on crack or something, doesn't it? And Big John, Little John, he found the Fountain of Youth, drank out of it, and then at certain times, to ensure that hilarity happened, he'd be this old guy, and then he'd turn into this little kid. So that was basically the scene. But he came, oh, it's Big John, Little John. And then, like, Sam O came, thinking, that fat bloke, that haircut, you know. But, Sam O doesn't get to fight a lot in that. He does a little bit in Project A, and then it's only since DVD came out that I was able to get his back catalogue and to just see how fucking fantastic the bloke is.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, one thing DVD's got is that you can get your hands on things now, and it's just incredible. Because I'd not seen much of Samo until, Hong Kong Legends. I remember I got my first DVD player, and I spent £120. I bought 10 DVDs. Yeah, and it was like, and most of it, like, Sam O Hung films. It was, I'm going to shut up now, sorry.
No, just, it's alright.
It's just starting me off, because it's, Wheels on Meals. I mean, the van should have its own episode of podcast. For starters. You know, people are going about the van in the 18, but the one in Wheels on Meals that they got fitted out, it was just I think it was good to see a kung fu, like a martial arts film, set somewhere other than Hong Kong.
Aye, exactly.
That's why I love Wheels on Meals. I just love films that are set in foreign countries.
Yeah.
Well, other than their native country.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why I probably love Armour of God as well, because it's set in Europe as well.
Yeah, it just adds something to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I'll shut up there. Yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, that was really one of the last Jackie films for me to see, which was strange. It was really to the point where, Jim, I think it was when you actually gave me the VHS.
I paid £12 for that VHS.
Yep, and you gave it to me for nothing.
Yeah.
What a guy.
That's how generous I was at the time.
Well, that and you got the DVD, but...
Yeah, that's the only other reason I can, because I knew. But the only way I'd be able to say would either to A, get up early on a Sunday morning and go to a boot sale and sell it, or take it down cash converters, as they were called back then, and give them 10p for it.
Yeah, yeah.
This was back in the days before each town centre had, like, five different shops that bought everything for second hand.
But... Yeah, that film kind of just blew my mind as well. It was, like, it had, like, crazy, like, chase scenes, and that shot where it's the hill, then the van just comes flying up over it.
Yeah, it's, you're right, I just remembered the scene with the opening credits when they get up, and, like, Yuen Biu does all this, like, Wing Chun stuff on the dummy.
Yeah.
And Jackie Chan just, like, hits it once and then, like, buggers off. And that's... Aye. Classic.
It's that great gag where the camera's looking into the two rooms, and it's obviously it's two doors, but the thing is there isn't a wall between them.
Yeah.
At first they're acting like it, and then all of a sudden, like, doesn't Jackie just lean over into the other room and grab something? You're like, wait, what the fuck? Ah, Oh, you just... Oh, my mind! It is another one of those classics. I really actually think it would be worth looking into doing maybe a Three Brothers Jackie Chan episode covering the movies we didn't really get the chance
you
to cover in this episode.
You need a Three Brothers special, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you do, because, yeah.
If you think about it, although we did discuss Dr. Ames deep into a fair amount of detail, I think we've only really scratched the surface of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Dragons Forever needs its own...
yeah, that...
For starters, as well.
It's a third commentary and podcast in one.
Yeah.
Aye, notes will be taken. But I definitely things like Twinkle Twinkle, My Lucky Stars, Winners and Sinners, they get put down the Three Brothers films, but they're hardly together as a trio.
They're Lucky Stars films, really, aren't they?
I think the Lucky Stars ones are served their own show as well, because I think they're just awesome.
Maybe you could get Richard to come in on it or something, you know. It might be worth looking into. It's got to be somebody that knows how to...
I think Mike Leader probably has some way to contact
them. I bet Mike Leader probably would. Yeah?
So I know they worked together on that other film that got released a while ago. Can't think of, for life of me, what it was called, but...
See what you can do. That'd be really good. You could get, you know...
Yeah, so it would be nice to have... Second celebrity on Podcast on Fire.
You could do it, like, if we've got cameras, like a video podcast, but we'd all probably piss ourselves once you came on. I know I would. Giving the Richard look.
Mm-hmm.
Something to look forward to, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, My Lucky Stars, 1985. What's your thoughts, Mike?
Good film. You know, it's one of those. Thing I like about it is the fight scenes are very good, and Chin Garlock gets a lot of stunt work to There's a scene at the end when he doubles for Lau Garwing when he boots him through a table,
right?
And he like catches his head on the thing as he comes into it. Oh, it's one of those. Oh fuck me, that must have hurt. Moments.
He's still getting up after that stunt for a little while yet.
Yeah.
It's not like, get up, brush yourself off, right, let's do it again. It's like, nope, he's staying down for a little while.
Stay down for a little while.
Come back, have a cup of tea, see if he's alright.
It's just very funny, and I mean, a lot of it's set in Japan, where Jackie Chan and Yuen Biu are massive anyway.
Yeah.
And nice ninjas thrown in for good measure.
Mm-hmm.
And... the bit at the end with you'll be kicking me out of doing the podcast because I can't remember. Is it Sibel Hugh that's in it?
It is, aye.
Yeah, when she fights that Japanese bodybuilder, woman, what's her name?
Michiko
Nishiwaki.
That was my nickname for her. Michiko Nishiwaki.
Yeah. She, like, has this massive fight, then somehow walks and just punches her in the face and she falls. Great.
And I'm pretty sure they had to do that again a few times as well. Yeah.
I mean, and like the VHS, the dubbing and what have you, the same six blokes. And somehow's moniker of Dumbo, I think, quite sweet, with his bass and haircut as well.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's really entertaining film. Very good.
Mm-hmm. So, right. Jim, what's your thoughts on Heart of the Dragon from 1985?
I think it's cute, heartwarming and tear-jerking.
Mm-hmm. That's another film that's pretty much like Miracles, where there's really little fight scenes, but when there is, there are usually some really good scraps. But
it's gotten a lot of mixed reactions, Heart of the Dragon. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who it was. I remember one person on the old Jackie forum said that when they saw Heart of the Dragon, they felt that Sammo was, what's the word? Degraded. Before the different view.
It's that haircut. It haunts him. He should have stuck with that perm. I'm telling you now.
Right, Mike, I'd like to hear your opinion, since you've seen the film in the cinema, The Protector.
Right, I saw it when it was released. I saw it twice, actually. Jackie Chan mad, not that, you know, for the first... I mean, it was like quite... Jim Glickenhouse directed. It was quite very violent, very gory. and some nice stunts in there, especially the fight scene at the end when he's fighting the guys in the container warehouse.
Right.
And it's basically, it's like, oh, fuck me, because like, there's the bit when he sweeps a stuntman and he hits the top of one of the containers and oh my god. And then knowing what I know now, you realise it was a stunt that went wrong and he shouldn't have actually hit that top of that container. But it was just, for an American thing, it gets quite a lot of stick. But I remember at the time, I quite enjoyed it because it, that age, I was quite into like violent and gory stuff and Jackie Chan thrown in for good measure, yeah. Quite a lot of nudity, I recall, as well, which didn't seem to fit the Jackie Chan mould.
I remember Jackie, he'd be in like that, because he always kind of liked the way, the fact that his films had no swearing or no nudity in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got The Protector, where you just got random scenes where they go into a brothel, and you got Danny Ayers, hey, you've grown a beard.
Yes.
Things like that, and then you got the rare scene where you got naked women of all races.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, just standing around naked, not really doing anything.
Yeah. It was like a lab, a science lab or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Lab where they make drugs.
Yeah, coke lab, that's it. And they're all like naked, yeah.
It's so they can't steal the drugs.
Yes.
Because I saw that in, what's call it, American Gangster as well, where they were naked.
Apart from in their beards, you forgot that bit.
Well,
that's the thing I'm never forget.
And Bill Wallace's character had a cracking name, Benny Garucci. How good is that?
I'm not sad. Like they used to.
No, they don't. But I'd like to see the Hong Kong cut, because he reshot a whole series of it, didn't he? Yeah.
Didn't it include Moon Lee? He gave it like a whole new
plot with Moon Lee.
Yeah. I'd like to get a copy of that.
Yeah, because, that did come out on Hong Kong Legends as well, but obviously it was the American print. I don't think it included
deleted scenes
either, because even if they had those scenes as deleted ones, like when they'd released Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain, and that actually had all the deleted scenes from the American version. Jim, Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see Rose from Kwan's nipples in that.
Ah, oh, what?
What a great film. That's extremely lecherous of you.
I remember watching that ages ago with a friend, and they were quite surprised because it was the first time we ever saw something like that in a Hong Kong film.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the plus, I remember my mate laughed his head off when they played that dodgy saxophone music.
Oh yeah, it has
one of the best anti-film bits at the beginning, where Spare Hussein says, "Oh, I don't actually love you. I was just using you." And some of it just dropped to the ground. I thought that was fucking brilliant. It was just so stupid. You think, watching the film, it's retarded. Why does she love him? But it's just the question. And suddenly in the next one, it says, "Oh, I was just using you." You think, oh, brilliant. Even though it's sad, you just think it's brilliant because it makes a bit more sense.
I'm sorry, Teapot. You're just not for me.
Yeah.
Teapot. They're great, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one when they dig the tunnel in on the beach?
Yeah.
And
it's a spy on those
women. And all the women fall when the tunnel collapses, yeah.
And there's a cracking chinkar lock high fall when he's on paragliding.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like drops off.
I find it's also great when Samuel comes across the Thai transsexuals.
Like the ladyboys, and he has a fight and he sticks his hand.
And chinkar lock's one of them.
Yeah.
There's like some real ones, and then there's Chin Carlock in the middle with a wig on and dungarees. It's like, oh.
I seem to recall. Doesn't he tip one of them over and like chops it between the legs or something?
I was about to mention it. Yeah, he does. He just picks one by the angles, just tots over, and he just goes.
Good old Sam, keeping his hand in on that.
When I first watched it, I didn't realise they were ladyboys. I thought they were actual women. I just thought, why is he doing that? Why is that?
Why are you punching them there?
Eventually I realised they were ladyboys, and I thought, oh, bloody hell.
It makes you think Samuel's maybe caught up.
To the end.
Mm-hmm.
superb. And Richard, when he goes to get that love potion off her.
Wuma.
Yeah. Classic. And then the final fight with Richard Norton, painful, which became his catchphrase. And Yasuaki Karata's got those Japanese weapons.
Oh, the size.
Yeah, they're actually Chinese in origin because they're used in the Chogar Praying Mantis system. Oh. They're known as the Iron Rulers. And they reckon that because China Kung Fu went over to Okinawa, became karate, that they adopted the Sai, which are the Iron Rulers, as the weapons. And like Samo gets those two tennis rackets out. Mm-hmm. And like Yasuaki Karata starts spinning around and he starts spinning the tennis rackets. Fantastic scene. Especially when he hits him round the head with these tennis rackets and they break.
Aye.
It's like, oh, you know, the usual Samo Hung bone crunching. God, that's got to hurt. Mm-hmm. And then he kicks him through the window just to add to it, yes.
Another great thing was actually the start of the movie when it was Jackie Chan, Yin Bu, and like a very young Andy Lau in a warehouse fighting against, was it Dick Wei, the Lau Gar Wing, and somebody else that I'm forgetting about.
Funnily enough, you mentioned that. When I used to get them on from the video shop, the cover to Dragons Forever had...
Oh, it had Andy Lau.
Andy Lau,
red and yellow.
Yin Bu, and Jackie Chan on the front, and that was from Twinkle Twinkle. There you go.
And it's when they looked like their costumes giving the impression that they're going to do some ballet.
They've got the vests on and everything.
They're in vests and look like tights. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they're going into a Coke factory, and it's actually a Coca-Cola factory, not a naked scientist Coke factory.
Yeah. Naked scientist with beards count factory, get it right.
Yeah. But I think that's one of the films where it has the great Yin Bu kick, where he does like the cartwheel.
Oh, yes.
Does the spin.
It's Kofei, isn't it? He fights Kofei. He fights, yeah. That's the other guy. There you go.
Right, yeah. And I always remember it finished with one of those strangest shots. I'm probably looking at it now, it'll probably make sense, but there was a scene where it was Fung Lee, like Kei Lee, it was like Curry. He's standing at the door entrance and gets shot, and then the police enter around the corner with their guns. Mm. It's like the bullet somehow gets around the corner and hits him, because everyone else is fighting hand to hand, and all of a sudden he's standing there and you hear the police shout halt, then a big bang and he falls over, and then the police enter the scene.
It must be from the same batch that killed John F. Kennedy.
Ah, we're on to something there.
Yeah.
So, next in the list, Armour of God. Mike, what's your thoughts?
Great. Another one on VHS, and the dubbing was brilliant, especially the gay waiter. All right, I know what to do. Fantastic, you can't beat it. It's another stunt fest. I mean, Jackie Chan, I'm not going to read it, but he nearly died on it, and it's got Lola Fauna in it, and some great scenes. The bit when he's like knocking the gum up and he's catching it in his mouth.
Oh, I love those little bits.
And like when he fights, there's a guy called John Ledowski. He fights this one of those like monks at the end. It's a really entertaining film. And his little car chase bit when his car breaks in half and he's on like that little buggy thing.
Yeah.
And then that big jumper ends up on that like shipping net hanging off a crane.
Oh, that was brilliant.
I think it was Remy Julien did all the car stunt work on that, didn't he? Yeah, very good. You know,
and that was another one of those movies where it had the really great car chase.
Mm.
Well, they're on motorcycles, wasn't it? Aye.
Yeah, no.
But it had like the great music going with it, and it just really kind of had like your blood pumping. It had some adrenaline to it. Since we've already discussed Project A Part 2 and Police Story 2, we could excuse those. So, guys,
Dragons Forever. Really?
Yeah, exactly. What's your thoughts on Dragons Forever? okay, I was going to say, right, that might take an episode upon itself, but it is an all out and out classic, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Some great fights, great comedy. I always love that shot at the end when Sam was walking out of like the drugs factory carrying Yin.
And he drops him.
When his Dini Yip appears and it just like throws him and runs over to her. Ah, oh, it's brilliant. Even I always love the scenes when Jackie's got the lassie over for the date and Samo and Yin Bu are fighting in the bedroom.
Yeah, it's a good scene, that, isn't it? He's like, he opens the door and he's now he's bleeding. He's, you've had too much to drink. Bye.
And trying to squeeze Samo into a cupboard.
Yeah.
And it's just his reaction when he lets his breath out and the door shoots across the room.
It's funny that Samo's like a very large guy, but it's always been used as like a comedic vehicle. Mm-hmm. And it always works. It never comes over as being offensive. Well, I never think it does anyway.
He never really seems to be offended, even though
half
his career he is referred to as fatty.
And exactly, I mean, like most of his films, fatty, fatso, you know, porky, whatever. Yeah, but it's, you know, I mean, say it to his face, he'd probably kick the crap out of you. So
true.
Yeah, you know. So unlike a lot of other action stars, he's going to actually have a fight, by all accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Jim, thoughts on Dragons Forever?
I think it is brilliant.
Thought you were going to say it was bloody awful, didn't you?
Well, I was tempted to, but I don't think anyone would actually believe me.
Exactly. So, I've been your host for this evening. I'm Stuart Sutherland. Joining me tonight, we've had
Mike Maley
and
James Elmore.
Right, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. I should have gone, ta-da, shouldn't I? Never mind.
I'll keep that bit in.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, you know.